scripture this morning comes to us from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. Let's listen to God's word for us this morning. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are the witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Friends, for the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. As we continue to celebrate the risen Christ during this season of Easter, we'll be exploring the Acts of the Apostles over the next few weeks, focusing in on the surprising acts of God in the book of Acts. We'll explore the excitement and discomfort that comes with the sudden reversal of our expectations. As Jessica Lagrone describes it, the resurrection sets off a host of unexpected events and changes for Jesus' followers, even changes within themselves. As we explore the stories, my hope is that we may begin to welcome this unpredictable God into our lives as we come to expect the unexpected. Today we find ourselves on what many preachers refer to as the somewhat dreaded Doubting Thomas Sunday. It's one of the few Sundays in the year when we have the exact same passage in John every year. All 3 years in the lectionary cycle contain the exact same story of Thomas not believing until he sees it with his own eyes. An important story, but it's a recurring passage that many preachers sometimes lament. How many times can we stand up here and talk about Doubting Thomas? So instead, today I invite us to think about another one of the disciples, Peter, or Simon Peter, who maybe wasn't so different from Thomas when we really look at it. Last week was Easter Sunday, the Sunday we celebrate the biggest surprise the world has ever known. Jesus Christ, arrested, tortured, and executed in plain sight, surprised everyone by defeating death and escaping alive from the tomb. This single surprise changed human history forever, but it also set in motion a series of surprising adventures for Jesus' followers, recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. During Holy Week, we saw Jesus' disciples become so intimidated and terrified by the horror of watching what their rabbi went through on his journey to the cross that they scattered about in fear. Can we blame them? They knew that even to associate with Jesus during this terrible week could mean a cross for them as well. And then we have the story of Peter. As Jessica Lagrone explains, Peter in particular was scared into denying Jesus in his greatest hour of need, just as Jesus had predicted that Peter would do. Far from being an isolated event, this wasn't the first time. This is the same Peter who doubted Jesus when we told him after fishing all night to try throwing the nets out on the other side of the boat. The same Peter who with the other disciples told Jesus to send his 5,000 people home from hillside because there just wasn't enough food to feed all of them. Imagine Peter's surprise when they brought in those nets full of fish. Imagine Peter's surprise of people full of food and 12 full baskets left over at the feeding of the 5,000. And then finally, and most importantly, the tomb empty of the body of his Savior. God surprised Peter again and again by doing the impossible, the wonderfully unexpected, the miraculous. Peter was the golden child, one of the favorite disciples. He was charismatic and outspoken. He was energetic and clearly had a deep love for Jesus. Yet time and again, he also showed a clear lack of faith, culminating last Sunday when the women came to tell the disciples that Jesus was alive, and Peter had to run to the tomb because he had to see it for himself before he believed it. That's not all that different from doubting Thomas, now is it? But after experiencing the risen Christ, Peter had a surprising turnaround. Just a couple of weeks ago on Palm Sunday, literally while we were here in worship, as I was sharing a sermon about my experience at the Masters Golf Tournament, someone else had quite the surprising turnaround. The story of Tiger Woods, from his early career to the victory at the Masters 2 weeks ago, is a story for the ages. I know several preacher friends of mine who considered using that comeback story as an example for Easter Sunday, a resurrection, if you will, a redemption story. Yet somehow everyone felt uncomfortable drawing comparisons between Tiger Woods and Jesus Christ. But you know, I think Tiger's story is more like Peter. Peter was the golden child, as I said. He was one of the favorite disciples. He was charismatic and outspoken. He was energetic, and he clearly had a deep love for Jesus. And Tiger was also the golden child of golf. He was one of the favorite golfers in his prime. He was charismatic and outspoken about the game. He was energetic in his victory, and clearly he had a deep love and reverence for the game of golf as he chased the records of the great Jack Nicklaus. As a young phenom emerging on the scene, Tiger Woods captured our hearts and imaginations as we were awed by his long drives and dramatic chips and putts. He brought a whole new dynamic to the game of golf, and he changed the game forever. The PGA Tour and golf in general took on another level of popularity as the crowds followed Tiger from hole to hole with excitement and energy. I heard some of the golfers at the Masters a couple weeks ago describe it, saying that they can tell a difference between a normal roar out on the golf course when someone hits a great shot and a Tiger roar when he does something amazing. He was a dominant force in the game and a sports celebrity on a completely different level. He was the Michael Jordan of golf. Many believed it to be a near certainty that he would break Jack Nicklaus's records. And then he fell. And he fell hard. Tiger Woods had one of the worst downward spirals in all of sports, both professionally and personally. He became a very polarizing figure. On the golf course, he began struggling with many injuries, his back, his knee, multiple surgeries, causing his game to fall apart, missing the cut in tournaments, withdrawing due to pain and injury. As many sports analysts would say, Tiger Woods was a shell of his old self on the course. And on top of all that, he had numerous personal incidents in his life of infidelity, violence, drug use, and DUIs. He did things that many people consider completely unforgivable, and understandably so. And it was all lived out in the scrutiny of the public eye as Tiger Woods fell hard. And most people thought he'd never make it back, myself included. But the thing is, we all fall sometimes. Maybe not always as hard as Tiger. Maybe not in as many seemingly unforgivable and ugly ways. But we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of being the person that we are called to be. Even Peter fell short sometimes. While certainly not on the same level as Tiger, even Peter fell short in his faith in Jesus. When Jesus said, "Put out your nets," Peter fell short in his faith. When Jesus was preparing to feed the 5,000, Peter fell short in his faith. When following Jesus' arrest, Peter denied Jesus three times. Peter fell short in his faith. When Jesus' tomb was empty and the women came to tell him and he needed to run to the tomb to see for himself, Peter fell short in his faith. Peter fell over and over again. And once he denied Jesus three times and he didn't believe that the tomb was empty, most people probably thought that he'd never make it back again. But then, as Jessica LeGrone describes it, in today's readings from the book of Acts, we meet Peter again. But this time, he's the one surprising us. The apostles have boldly been out proclaiming the news about the resurrection, and as a result, they are thrown in prison. But during the night, an angel releases them and tells them to go and publicly share the good news right in the temple court. This is the boldest move. They've been arrested by the high priest, but they return to the public center of religious activity and do again what they were arrested for doing. Instead of running away or hiding like they did before, Peter and the others are faithful to obey what God has told them to do and then stand up to the high priest and the others. When confronted with doing exactly what they've been told not to do, Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." What a turnaround. From running away from the cross, denying Jesus three times, not believing the women who came after the tomb, to standing in the temple courts, telling the story of the resurrection. Peter has been surprised by God for so long, he's finally learned a lesson that you can bet God will surprise you. No matter how grim the circumstances look, God always has something up God's sleeves. Peter has learned to bank on it, and it has turned him into a new person. He is an example of a complete turnaround in faith. I don't know what the turning point for Tiger Woods was. I don't know whether it has anything to do with faith for him, or even whether he's turned around his personal life like he's turned around his professional life, though I hope and pray that he has and will continue to do so. But I know that as he came up that 18th green to knock that putt into the hole, as the crowds roared for Tiger yet again, as he raised his arms and shouted for joy, as he ran to the side to hug his son in the same place that he hugged his dad years ago, Tiger Woods had one of the greatest turnaround stories of all time. It was as if he had learned to expect the unexpected, and has allowed that to turn him into a new person. And perhaps there's still more to come. But I know that somewhere in that story, something was a turning point for Tiger. Something changed in him, and he became a new person. And that's why I say he's kind of like Peter. There most certainly was a turning point for Peter, where something changed in Peter, where he became a new person. And for Peter, that turning point was in his experience of the good news of the risen Christ. As God raised Jesus from the dead, overcoming death and sin, God changed Peter's heart, creating a surprising turnaround, where even after being arrested, even in the face of the authorities, Peter boldly and faithfully stood his ground, saying, "We must obey God rather than human beings." And Peter continued on to become one of the most dynamic, charismatic preachers in the early church, boldly and faithfully proclaiming the good news of the risen Christ over and over again, everywhere he went. And that's what the good news of the risen Christ can do for each one of us as well. As we celebrate the risen Christ, may our hearts be changed. May our faith be strengthened. May something inside us change so that each one of us can learn to expect the unexpected and have a surprising turnaround that invites us to boldly and faithfully stand our ground and proclaim the good news, to tell the story. May each of us have a surprising turnaround of faith and respond by hearing the call to boldly and faithfully proclaim the good news of the risen Christ over and over again, everywhere we go. For I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else could do. Amen. Let's now